We are meant to go through life together. We're meant to meet together, not only on Sunday mornings, but throughout different various times of the week, maybe not all corporately, but just as brothers and sisters getting together to encourage one another, to spur one another on. We need to meet together. We need to worship together. We need to be convicted together. We've been talking about walking through this life together as church family and a few of those things that God has in His Word to show us what it means to be church family. That we need to share resources and we need to give together. And today we're going to talk about being triumphant together. Because today is Palm Sunday. And if you don't know what Palm Sunday is, don't worry, you'll know by the end of today. All right? Palm Sunday is a very special Sunday for us as followers of Jesus Christ. It's a very special time because it's the week immediately before Easter, for Good Friday and Easter Sunday, when we celebrate the fact that Jesus went onto that cross for us. For your sin, for my sin, for the sin of the entire world, He did it. Well, I have a couple of pictures. When we talk about triumphal entry, I've got a few photos for us. Toes, if you could bring up the one of our soccer team first, please. If you guys want to take a look, and I'll just back out of the way here. Triumphal entry, whenever we celebrate victory, right? In our world and in our culture, this is over in Europe. This is a soccer or a football team, as it might be called over there. And this is a championship that they've won, and they're parading through the city in a double-decker bus. I mean, London, right? Like double-decker bus. You got to have the double-decker bus. They're parading through the city, and look at the thousands and thousands of people in the background celebrating and cheering this team on, cheering them on for their victory. Okay, Tobes, let's go to the next one, buddy. We celebrate in wartime victories. And this is not a recent picture, okay? We celebrate victories in battle, okay? Let's go to the next picture. And we couldn't talk about celebrating victories without talking about the Calgary Stampeders and their victory in the Grey Cup. Okay, some grimace and some cheer in this room. But when we talk about triumphal entry, when we talk about being triumphant together, we need to remember that we join Jesus in His victory over death. And He invites us to join Him in that. And when we talk about a triumphal entry, this triumphal procession that we're going to look at in Matthew chapter 21, if you have your Bible with you, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 21, starting in verse 1. We're looking at Jesus when He's coming into the city of Jerusalem. He's entering in, and it truly is an entry of triumph. But unlike all these pictures that I just showed there, the battle had already taken place, right? The teams had already won the final game. Those troops had won the final battle in the war. Jesus was heading into it. When He comes into the city, He is heading into the most difficult part of His battle in His earthly ministry. When we look at Palm Sunday, it is truly triumphant. But Jesus is already declaring victory, even though we haven't seen the end yet. I love that picture, and I love that idea. Last week, we talked a little bit about Lamentations chapter 3. We talked about remembering together that God's mercies are new every day. Tobes, could you... there. Tobes is all over it. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. We talked about God's mercies and how they are never ending and how His mercies are new every morning. And we talked about how as a church family, we wanted to remember and focus on His mercies never ending and being new every morning, every day that we woke up this week. And every day beyond that, but every day this week, we wanted to practice getting up in the morning and saying, God, thank You that Your mercies never run out. God, thank You that they are new even this morning. I didn't use them all up yesterday. Your people didn't use them all up yesterday. They're new today. And we talked about doing that because we are heading into a very special time for us as a church family. Not only us as a church family, but us as followers of Jesus across the world. We take this week and next week aside to remember very special events in our history. And that's the entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, what we call Palm Sunday because of the people waving the palm branches and putting them in front of the foal that He rode. It's a very special time for us, and I wanted us to, and well, I believe God wanted us to focus on His mercies because it was in His great mercy. It was Him withholding what we do deserve. It's what mercy is. It's when someone withholds what somebody else really does deserve. What we really deserve is separation from God for eternity. We deserve eternal death. But through Jesus, God's given us eternal life. If you're a follower of Jesus today, this is review, and that's okay. We need to celebrate this. Triumphal entry. Let me set the stage for you just a second. You see, God created the world. He spoke it into existence. He created a perfect world. He had perfect relationship with the two people he created, Adam and Eve. But then Adam and Eve chose to go against the will of God, and they ate of the one tree in this special garden that God made, that he said, don't eat the fruit of that tree. Any other fruit, any other produce you can have, it's all yours. Don't eat from that tree. They were tricked into eating from that tree, from the enemy. Eve ate. She gave it to her husband. God says, what happened? Eve blamed it on the enemy that tricked her. And who did Adam blame? Of course, he blamed his wife, right? She gave me the fruit. Sin entered the world that day. A long time ago, sin entered the world. And then, perfect relationship was broken with God. And it had to be restored. So God began to unfold his plan for how to restore that. He first, the population got worse and worse and worse. And so God kind of had to clean the slate. He had one family that was faithful to him. He sent the flood, told Noah to build the ark. Noah built the ark. He saved Noah and his family. He began to repopulate the earth. Man still sins. It doesn't mean that God failed. It means that he is unfolding his plan slowly throughout history. Noah and the ark. Then God gave his promise to Abraham, another man that was faithful to him. God gave his promise that he would make his descendants as numerous as the stars. They would be like the sand on the seashore, right? And that his descendants would be a blessing to all people. God made this promise to Abraham. He said, my people, I will never let die out. Then he used Moses to deliver his people from slavery in Egypt. And Moses miraculously, through God's power, God performed a miracle through Moses to release the people from captivity in Egypt, to take them back, to take them to the promised land. And then we have, and this is Old Testament and fast forward, okay? We've got prophets all along the way that are telling the people of God about what God wants for them and God's standards for them. And these prophets are trying to help people know how God wants them to live their lives, and they'll follow for a little bit, then they'll fall away for a little bit, then they'll follow for a little bit, then they'll fall away from a little bit. And then the people got to the point where they said, okay, God, you know, we understand that you are a king, but we really want an earthly king like all the other nations. And so God granted them that wish that they could have an earthly king. And that turned out to be not such a great idea, because kings are made of men, right? And men are sinful. And so those kings, there were some good kings, some bad kings, some good decisions, some bad decisions. Divided kingdom happens. The people of God are going through kind of a sordid past. It's tough since sin entered the world. But God had a rescue plan. And those prophets continue to try to tell the people of God, this is what God wants. God's people continue to sin. They go into slavery again, like the book of Lamentations last week we talked about. They're lamenting the fact that their city has fallen because of their sin, and they're in captivity once more. I mean, it's over and over and over. But God had a rescue plan. And when we catch up in the New Testament is when God has sent his son Jesus into the world. Remember, he didn't create him. He sent him. Because Jesus always has been, always will be. He sent him into the world as a little baby. Jesus grows up a sinless life. Jesus has quite some following at the time that we're picking up in Matthew chapter 21. The people actually love Jesus because he loves them and he teaches them about God in powerful ways. And Jesus has performed miracles at this point. He's picked 12 disciples to walk alongside of him and to explain some of these things that he's teaching the crowd in greater detail. Jesus is laying the road. He's laying down the path for God's rescue plan. And we pick up, Jesus has quite a number of followers. He's leaving a place called Jericho, and he's coming into Jerusalem, coming towards the cross. The people don't know what's coming. He's foretold it to his disciples. He said, the Son of Man, the Savior, is going to have to die. And the disciples don't believe him yet. But he's told them. Matthew chapter 21, verse 1. When they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus then sent two disciples, telling them, go into the village ahead of you. At once you will find a donkey tied there and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you should say that the Lord needs them, and immediately he will send them. This took place so that what was spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled. Tell daughter Zion, that's people of God, see, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. The disciples went and did just as Jesus directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt. Then they laid their robes on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their robes on the road. Others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them on the road. Then the crowds who went ahead of him and those who followed kept shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was shaken, saying, Who is this? And the crowds kept saying, This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. Triumphal entry. The people actually loved Jesus. It was the religious leaders that didn't like him. They didn't like him because they thought he was coming and just taking away all their glory. The religious leaders were the ones that didn't like him. The people loved him. And Jesus is coming in. His disciples, they've heard what's supposed to happen, but they're not really getting the picture. The crowds are just loving the fact that Jesus teaches in a very powerful way. He loves the children. He blesses the children. He loves the people. He heals people. He performs miracles. Why wouldn't you like Jesus? He's coming in, and all of a sudden, this kind of crowd mob mentality starts, right? And Jesus has told his disciples, now go into the city, find this donkey and find her foal, find her colt, okay? And in the passage in Mark, that's the parallel passage to this, it says, find the one that's never been ridden, okay? And he says, when you untie him and begin to take him out, bring him to me, he says, if anybody gives you any trouble, just tell him the Lord needs him. Wow. I don't know. I'm stealing somebody's car. The king needs it. Take it, you know? Tell them you'll bring it right back after I'm done. But you know, these guys, they've walked with Jesus. They've seen him perform miracles. They've seen one of their own walk on water. They've seen what Jesus can do. They had faith. They trusted him. No problem. And sure enough, if somebody asked him, where are you going? Don't worry. The Lord needs it. We'll bring it back after he's done. Sweat. So they do it. They're obedient. Because they're on a roll, right? They're obedient because, yeah, Jesus, man, nothing can stop you. We will follow you because you're going to be our king. You're going to bring rule back to the Jewish people. We'll follow you. So they go get the donkey and her foal, and this fulfilled prophecy from Isaiah. See, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden, one that's never been ridden. You know when I thought about that? In fact, one that's never been ridden? Because no one else, this beast of burden never carried a burden before. No one else has carried the burden, or no one else could carry the burden that Jesus was about to carry. No one else could. He hops on this donkey, he's coming in, and a mob mentality begins to form. But not in a bad way. These people are shouting and they're singing his praises, and they're fulfilling what the psalmist said in Psalm 118. It says, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Like the disciples began leading the chant, and then the crowds joined in, right? And it's just this amazing thing. Do you know what the word Hosanna means when they shout Hosanna? It's a Hebrew word for save. They're shouting Savior. They're shouting the one who came to save. Hosanna, the Savior, the Son of David has come. He's going to fulfill prophecy. Now, they don't understand what's about to happen. They don't understand the full picture of what God is doing here, but Jesus does. He knows exactly what he's going into. But the crowds are shouting, and they're singing his praises. And today, we celebrate Palm Sunday. And when it says they gathered branches, there's a lot of date palms in that area. And so they would break off these leafy branches and they were laying them down in front of him. They were throwing the robes in front of him as a sign of respect, as a sign of honor. The crowds loved him. Right? Just like the crowds that welcome in a successful soccer team or a football team or a successful army that's declared victory over the enemy. The crowds are there showing their appreciation, but they didn't fully understand why they were there. And I want to fast forward a little bit this morning. when we're talking about being triumphant together, we have the benefit of looking back. We have the benefit of seeing the full story. We have the benefit of knowing that, yes, Jesus had to go to the cross, and he obediently went to the cross. And God did raise him from the dead, and he declared victory over death. We have the benefit of looking back. The crowds didn't have that benefit. But I want to say to you, the same crowds that were chanting Hosanna, the same crowds that were chanting Savior, Son of David, this King, Hosanna to the highest heaven, like they're shouting the highest praises that they can to Jesus. Do you know those same crowds are the same crowds that were chanting at the cross, crucify him, crucify him? Those same crowds that when Pilate came before the people and said, who would you rather have, Barabbas or Jesus? Same crowds. Some of the same people saying, crucify him, crucify him. Give us the murderer, kill Jesus. Same crowd. Southwinds, when I say triumphant together, I want us to remember that as we celebrate this time together, that as we get excited about Easter weekend, get excited about coming together on Friday to remember what God did for us on the cross, and get even more excited because Sunday's coming. The reason why we can celebrate Friday is because we have Sunday. We celebrate that Christ is risen from the dead. That as we do that together, that we must remember that all these things we've been talking about in past weeks, remembering God's ways, remembering to meet together, remembering that we need to have fellowship together, remembering that we need to share resources together. As God's people, we need to worship together. That we can't be like the crowds. We can't in one moment say, Hosanna, the Savior is here. Yes, Christ is my Savior. Jesus, I follow him and none other. We can't shout that one day and then the next day be silent about him. Or the next day forget about him. We can't be like the crowds that way. We've got to be, as a family, as a group of followers of Jesus, we've got to encourage each other. We've got to help each other. When a brother stumbles, we talked about that a few weeks ago. When a brother or sister, when they stumble, when they're caught up in something that they shouldn't be involved in, we need to lovingly go to them as spiritual people and say, brother or sister, like, I'm here for you. But I notice this is going on in your life. I want to help you walk out of it. We need to bear one another's burdens. Walk with each other when things go on in life, like what's going on with Carl and Becky, right? We need to walk with each other. You know, maybe just bring them a meal. God's rescue plan. When sin entered the world, this triumphal entry is so amazing to me. Because the crowds are chanting. Everybody's roaring for Jesus, but Jesus knows as he's riding on that donkey what's coming his way. He knows the cross is coming. He knows betrayal by one of his 12 is coming. He knows that he's going to immediately, I'm going to encourage you, read the rest of chapter 21 and on all the way through the book of Matthew this week. And again, it's in 21. There's only 28 chapters. There's not that much to read. Take a chapter a day. But continue reading this story in the book of Matthew this week. And take a look at Jesus and his triumphal entry. The first stop he makes is in the temple. And he cleans house. And then he teaches some more. And then he goes. Jesus has quite the week. Continues to teach. Then he's betrayed by one of his own. He prays in the garden. And he prays because of the burden that he's under. He prays and he's stressed so hard that he sweats blood. And he was broken for us. This triumphal entry happened before that final battle was fought. But God already knew his victory plan would work. God already knew his victory plan was about to be unfolded. His rescue plan. We can be triumphant together. That we can remember that we join Jesus in his victory over death. and that we are indeed together in this. And that's why we get together on Sundays. That's why we get together in life groups. We're triumphant together. He has allowed us to take part in that. We have the look. We have the benefit of looking back on this story. I would encourage you, go back today and read Matthew chapter 21. Read this account over again. Get that image in your mind of that crowd chanting Hosanna. Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna in the highest heaven. And remember that if we're going to choose to let that be the banner of our lives, that we need to continue to chant that even when times get hard. Because we're going to look at on Friday, we're going to look at a little bit what happened after Jesus went to that cross. I mean, again, everyone's human. No one's perfect but Jesus. But on Friday, we're going to look at, you know, one of the disciples even went so far as to deny Jesus three times, and Jesus told him he would do it. But when times get hard, that we would say, no, I still must say, Savior, Hosanna to the Son of David, Hosanna in the highest heaven. We need to, as a church family, continue to chant that. Do I live like victory has been won? Do I live that way? Do I live like I don't have to worry about death? I don't have to worry about eternal separation from God. I don't have to worry about so many of the things in this world that we choose to worry about because of what Jesus has done. And I'd like to ask us all to take time this week as we're reading Matthew from chapter 21 on. You can read the whole book if you want to. But focus on chapter 21 on. As we're reading that this week, let's remember and take time to say thank you, God, for what you did on the cross for me. For what you did on the cross for my neighbors that may not know you. For what you did on the cross for my coworkers, for my playdate people, from whoever it is that you know. Thank you for what you did on the cross for them. And God, would you use me to reach them? Take this time to remember the sacrifice that was paid.